always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Jim picked the worst time to cook jalapenos. She's sitting there roasting jalapenos. I'm like, Jen, I'm fucking okay. All right. But anyway, Ramona drops this like aside little tidbit, right? Which I don't even know what the point of was. But anyway, she says, you know, technically speaking, LeBron never specifically asked for the Lakers to draft Bronny James. And it's like, what are we doing? Like, you had Rich Paul trying to do whatever he possibly could to navigate Bronny to the Lakers. Bronny probably entered the NBA draft a year too early so that he could play with LeBron just in case LeBron's final year was the year that Bronny eventually got drafted. You had Bronny threatening to play in Australia if another team other than the Lakers drafted him. So from the agent side of things, they were doing whatever they could possibly do to get Bronny to the Lakers. This was before the Lakers had Luka on their roster and in their organization. So it was still technically a LeBron as the kind of North Star situation for the Lakers. So it's like, you know, I use this analogy on Twitter, but it's like if Jen and I, like after I record this episode, I'm going to go there, sit on the couch with Jen, or I'm going to walk out of my office and I'm going to be like, hey, babe, I'm going to pour myself a little glass of wine. And if she has one, then if I look and she has one already, no need. If she doesn't have one, I'm probably planning on pouring Jen a glass of wine anyway, because it's kind of implied. Yeah, I've been waiting. And it's like, yeah, Jen could specifically ask for one. But at this point, I have been with Jen for long enough that I kind of understand what she wants out of that situation, as well as others. And in this one, it's like LeBron and the Lakers have been working together for long enough. We know all of the dominoes that have been put into place so that Bronny could play with LeBron, and they could become the first father and son tandem to play in an NBA game together. Like, we knew all of this as it was like heading in. I don't understand what the point of this is. Like, who benefits from, like, who went to Ramona was like, you know, technically, because all this does is like question all of our intelligences, you know? And then the people, the funny, because like I see people in my mentions who are like, you know, technically that doesn't mean LeBron effort. Shut up. Just stop. We don't have to, you know, become these pedantic lawyers to try to make a point with each other. We know what LeBron wanted. We know what Bronny wanted. Hell, we might have even known what the Lakers wanted. The Lakers love to draft, like, with stories. Also, Bronny's a combo guard. That's Rob's forte. So it's not like LeBron forced them to draft Bronny. It wasn't that, but I think everybody understood what LeBron wanted, and the Lakers, you know, went along with it because they thought it would lead to a happier LeBron for the entirety of the time that Bronny was there. For a little while, that's actually what they got too. Like, LeBron was, you know, according to the people that I spoke to at the time, LeBron was like tangibly happier with Bronny in the organization with him. So, like, everybody kind of gets what they want. I don't understand what the point of like relitigating this is, or why even drop that as a report. Now, who knows why reporters do what they do, right? I already laughed at Shams, you know, reporting that Austin is coming back. We'll need to very quickly delete his tweet and not say anything about it after the Lakers almost immediately release the injury report that indicates Austin is not going to play. It's just, it's all just, I'm just so sick of sports media, Like, I'm just so sick of the old heads of sports media and the things that they demand the viewer to do, the listener to do. Like, the listener, the viewer, the reader has never been lazier, right? I sent out a tweet asking if hashtag Nico is right. The video was me saying, no, I don't think Nico is right. And yet that's still on a minute and a half long video. People were still too lazy to watch that video. So, like, all right, we have the least media literate society that we've basically ever had since, like, before the printing press, I guess. You have an entire generation of content consumers whose like attention span is shorter than it's ever been. And yet you have, while all of that is going on, reporters and an entire industry of journalists and content creators and fanalists and all these things that have smudged all these lines all over the place. And now all of a sudden you have people who just, like, do not understand what is news, what is journalism, what is reporting, what is PR, what is, like, what's analysis, what's the difference between analysis and reporting, like, and all this stuff does, Shams' thing from earlier, Ramona's thing right now, all this thing does is make everybody dumber. All right, exactly. Dude, I just rewatched Idiocracy the other day, the movie, and God, that so depressing. It was so depressing to see, like, how perfectly they predicted basically everything that went on. But all right, let's go ahead and dive on into some of your guys' questions before we get out of here. Anthony Rodriguez, 4372. Is it true the Lakers offered the Warriors Maxi Gabe and a first for Kuminga? I don't see the Lakers offering a first round pick for Kuminga personally. The Lakers are holding on to their draft capital, I believe, right now, especially first round type draft capital. If they are going to use their first rounders, it would be to kind of divvy them out, right? And try to bring in, like, you know, slightly less valuable first rounders, but have more of them. Now maybe if the Lakers include a first round pick for Kuminga, the Warriors would include, like, a protected first round pick for taking on Kuminga's extra year potentially. I also don't necessarily think that the Golden State Warriors would want to bring on just expirings and a first round pick from a Lakers organization that's going to have Luka from here on out. And especially at a time where they're trying to maximize the rest of the window that they have Steph Curry for. So I don't really think that package makes sense for anybody. I'm always a little skeptical about that guy's reporting, to be completely honest. What it all kind of comes down to is the Lakers have much higher priorities with their draft capital. The Warriors are trying to bring in an impact player whenever they do trade Jonathan Kuminga. So I don't really think this report made sense for anybody involved. Now, had it been like a Rui for Kuminga straight up kind of a deal, that one I would believe a little bit more, because, you know, Rui steps in, he provides a little bit of the floor spacing from the four spot that the Warriors really, really need. He also has more recently bought into the, you know, team winning construct than Jonathan Kuminga has. For the Lakers, they get a slightly more a more athletic wing with better foot speed who might fit in a little bit better on the wing than Rui does on this current roster. So that version of the events, I would believe a little bit more than whatever type, like, that. That's just not, like, maybe the Lakers offered it, but that's just not what the Warriors are looking for if they ever do trade Jonathan Kuminga. Like, they're holding on to him in the hopes that while Jimmy Butler is out, Kuminga plays well enough that he can be turned into a more consistent impact player this offseason. But as it stands right now, like, their options are dwindling, and Joe Lacob isn't going to let the final piece of that just wretched two timelines roster building approach go for Gabe Vincent, Maxi Kleba, and a first round pick from the Lakers, who their first round picks are going to be, you know, they aren't going to be in the lottery so long as Luka's there. So I just don't think it made very much sense for anybody. Let's see. Yeah, Sky Falcon, I'm more on board with getting Claxton now in the starting wing in the offseason. That's the thing that that's where I'm basically at. And this is what I've been saying, you know, for this entire run up to the trade deadline. Resolve one of your starting five positions moving forward before the trade deadline. Don't put off all of the work to this offseason when we know Rob Pelinka gets sticker shock, you know, because prices reset. You get to the offseason and all of a sudden prices re-escalate again. And Rob, you know, runs back into his hole and he says, sorry, guys, can't buy a house that isn't for sale. And like, the other thing too is, like, we keep on getting this report that the Lakers have as many as three first round picks to move this offseason. They have like a 12 or 16 hour window that they can actually do that. And it involves like drafting a player with a first round pick this year that would go in a trade. So as soon as that draft pick is made, they cannot make, and we've seen them go into drafts with that as what they need to do and not be able to get anything done with it. So, it's an annoying way that this is all being kind of framed. So to me, I'm of the opinion of, look, Claxton has a bunch of years on his contract, in a capped league that is mortified by long-term guaranteed money. And yes, it goes down in price over the course of that contract, but it's like everybody is so afraid of aprons that if you aren't a bona fide starter on a championship caliber team, teams, you know, get a little faint about those kinds of contracts. So see if you could take advantage of that with Nick Claxton right now, or whatever other big that you arrive at. But like, sort out one of your, like, because right now it's obvious that the Lakers have like Luka, Austin, and maybe LeBron are probably the plan for next season, right? Those three guys, or at least two of those guys, are going to be starters next year. So that means you have a spot for a combo guard, right? I think like Drew Holiday 5 years ago would have been perfect for that trio, right? So sort out, you have that as a position of need, your 2/3, and you need a starting center. So one of those two things needs to be sorted out in the next 10 days, I would say. And this whole, like, DeAndre Ayton experiment, it was fun for a little bit, but as we get closer to the postseason, it gets more and more abundantly clear that he's not the dude for that. And to me, centers move a little bit more frequently than the types of wings that we're kind of talking about here. So go out and get your center. All right, let's see what other questions you guys have here. I don't know. Let's see. RoboCop 829. Hey, Anthony, first time dad here to a 1-month-old, and yesterday was the hardest day so far. I had to walk away and have my wife handle the baby. Any advice, considering you've been a great dad? Well, thank you for saying that from your perspective, a great dad. That does mean a lot. It's something that I take very, very seriously. It's totally human to have those moments where you're completely overwhelmed by this human being whose life is quite literally in your hands. And I'll say this, when Miles was born, I didn't feel the connection to him that I did with Avery. I don't know if it was because he was a boy. I don't know if it was because of number two, where I was in my life at that time. But yeah, for whatever reason, that connection just wasn't what I wanted it to be. And it was driving me insane. Jen and I had multiple conversations about this, all throughout the first like chapter or so of his life. And I just like sat there. I'm like, man, am I like less of a dad? Am I less of a human? What the fuck is wrong with me? It's a beautiful bouncing baby boy. How many people, you know, like my brother-in-law would, you know, really cared about having a son. I never really particularly cared whether it was a girl or a boy when, Jen was pregnant. I correctly predicted both of them. But for whatever reason, I just didn't feel that connection. And there were definitely days where I had to like walk away, because he was still a very fussy boy. And early on, when he was that kind of fussy, I just said, Jen, I'm going to take Avery, get out of your hair, but I'm just too frustrated for this moment right now. Now, you don't want to do it too frequently. And occasionally, like while you're out, you want to talk to yourself and self-analyze and figure out what's going on there. And, you know, look, eventually I did like develop that connection with Avery. He's my little bud. Love this dude to death. And that patience with yourself is, I think, the most important thing. Do not be too hard on yourself for your human moments. You know, try to correct them and try to understand what's going on there. But do not sit there and kick yourself for very human moments, right? Any parent who is watching right now and listening right now will tell you, we like from day one till forever, there are going to be moments where you're like, okay, all right, I need to walk. You know, like it's gonna be, that's just part of the deal. And yeah, parenting is tough, but it's also the most fulfilling thing that I've ever done. And I've had a very blessed life. You know, I've been fortunate enough to do a lot of really cool things, and none of it, like none of the highs from things that I've been able to do in my life get, and like the other day I took Avery to the golf course with me for the first time. She got out of school. She gets out about 2:45, super twilight at the local municipal course over here. Is like $27. So, and like a large bucket of balls was like $20. So I was like, I get the cart, I get the course to myself with my daughter. Let's do that. I'm not kidding. Top five moment of my like adult life was just getting out there, watching her play, watching her enjoy the golf cart, all those things. Parenting is maddening. It's amazing. And it's equal shares of both. And, you know, navigating the highs and the lows and trying not to get too high and not trying to get too low, that's kind of the name of the game there. All right, let's see what the next one is. All right, I think, here we go. Super Freak 31, besides the Giannis plan, what have you heard about potential targets for this deadline and the summer? Well, I mean, for a while they were like Jokic too. And you know, you've noticed that noise has kind of dissipated because the Nuggets did their job and, you know, built another championship contender around Jokic. Now, importantly, the Nuggets fired the people who were responsible for, you know, the recent frustrations, right? Calvin Booth is gone. Mike Malone is gone. And they seem to have upgraded, you know, internally. And they have, I think, as good a chance as anybody at winning a championship this year. So, like, I think that to me is, like, the lesson here more than anything. Is like, you know, the Bucks keep on trying to put Band-Aids over bullet wounds. And they don't really seem interested in changing the infrastructure of why they keep having to deal with bullet wounds, right? Doc Rivers is still there. John Horst is still there. Like, those are the people responsible for the for Giannis not having as much of a chance at winning a championship as he would like. And yet they're not seemingly going anywhere. And for the Lakers, you know, if I'm to extend that lesson out, you need to identify some of the reasons, or maybe the reason, that the Lakers have not been title relevant despite having championship caliber superstars in their roster. And it's Rob Pelinka, right? Like, Rob has been allowed to stick around for all these times. And the fact that we're sitting here like, man, please, Rob, please get a please get a starter at the deadline. Like, that's, it's just crazy that we're sitting here having those same conversations again. So, yeah, as far as like the other guys that the Lakers would have on their target list, like, you can predict them as well as anybody can. Anthony Edwards is going to be somebody that the Lakers are keeping an eye on. You know, you could just, you're looking at superstars on teams that keep on coming up short, right? So Anthony Edwards comes to mind. We'll see what the Detroit Pistons do this upcoming summer. We'll see what happens in New York as they position themselves for Giannis potentially, you know, and so on and so forth. But the problem is, a lot of like the league's super duper stars are in good situations. Talked about Jokic already. Victor Wembanyama is really happy in San Antonio. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is extremely happy in Oklahoma City. And that kind of rounds out your top five in some order, right? Luka, Giannis, Jokic, Shai, Wemby, right? In some order, that's probably most people's Anthony Edwards. Like, Jason Tatum isn't really going to go anywhere. Jaylen Brown, like, he's not going anywhere. They won a championship and they've stayed afloat while they wait for Jason Tatum. I can't wait. Well, not going to say that I can't wait to see what that team looks like, because that sounds like complimenting the Celtics, and I can't do that. But like, yeah, at the end of the day, you know, the Lakers are like, rather than continue to look outward for superstar X who finally gets annoyed enough with their situations that they ask out, how about you improve your current situation? So not only does that superstar say, I want out, but I also specifically want that situation. You know, I specifically want to go to the Lakers. And that's the thing with this Giannis thing, is like, not only are the Lakers basically pinning their hopes on Giannis finally telling the Milwaukee Bucks, all right, enough here, but they're also hoping that the Bucks turn around and are willing to trade Giannis to the Lakers when they aren't going to have, at, you know, in terms of the things that teams usually look for, young players, draft picks, you know, or even like relatively decent win now players, right? Like, Austin would technically be the best player who could be included in any of these conversations, but the Lakers aren't going to include him in that kind of a conversation. So, yeah, I would, you know, what are the targets and stuff that extend beyond this summer? I would hope that if the Giannis thing falls through, that the Lakers just focus on their situation and their culture and the opportunity that they have with Luka, with Austin, and with whoever else they can go out and get this upcoming offseason that actually supplements those talents. All right. Let's see. Dodger Blue, honest odds that Pelinka makes a trade. A trade? I would say like 75-25 that he makes a trade. Like a 75% chance that he makes a trade. He, you know, doesn't like making trades in the offseason. This is usually the time of the year where prices get low enough that he sees value in that trade. Like, I would be pretty shocked if the Lakers didn't do anything with their draft picks and with their expiring money. And then after that, like, you know, then you get into the buyout market, and maybe then the Lakers will have enough money at that point to get in on some potential buyout guys who could maybe help. But as far as like, yeah, my sense, I would say 75-25 that the Lakers do something. Is it boxed in? Is it, you know, starter X? Maybe not, maybe even probably not. But like doing nothing at all, Lakers fans would try, like, would freak the hell out. And rightly so. Do something, man. It's your job. We got a super comment here, which means I get to play this bad boy. All right, Drip Show Shop with Mark Walter. Who is our who is our realistic next GM? I mean, Presti, right? Like, or RC Buford in San Antonio. Like the thing with Mark Walter is he has no problem whatsoever spending on non-capped things. I mean, shit, in baseball, that means players too, right? And that's why you see the Dodgers as dominant as they are. But with Mark Walter, it's like, all right, give me the best of the best of the best of the best, and let's bring that person in here, set a culture, give that person every ounce of resources that they could possibly dream of, and let's build this thing out. And, you know, Rob is going to get his opportunity first, and we will see what he chooses to do with the front office. But if that doesn't meet up or, you know, meet Mark Walter's standards, then if I'm a fan of a different team and my executive's contract isn't for the next like 25 years, I'd be a little nervous. You know, because those are the guys, those are the people that Mark Walter has zero problem whatsoever spending on. Let's see. I think that's it. I think I'm gonna peace on out of here. So thank you everybody for tuning in. Please hit that subscribe button, please hit that like button. Fun show here today. We have we'll be right back here in the lounge tomorrow following the Lakers game against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Raj, I believe, will still be out. We'll see. But regardless, I will be here for sure. So hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, and hit that share button. And until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Owen saying have a great rest of your evenings. Make somebody else's. And I will talk to you tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.